Hello again, Friartown, and welcome in to the first installment of Friar Pod here for the 2013-14 Friar basketball season. I'm Chris Torello, and I'm joined tonight by Danny James, the Warrior Friar.
Hello again, everybody.
Dave Peen of Friar Blog.
What's up, guys?
Kevin San.
How you doing?
And, of course, the man himself, Danny McNamara.
How's it going, Friartown?
All righty, we have a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it. Danny James, first topic.
First topic, we got the schedule out completely after a long wait on what was supposed to be a 2 o'clock release on the Big East schedule day from Fox Sports 1. But now we have it full, complete. We got non-conference, we got conference, we got rivals, we got BC, we got Kentucky. So let's dive right into the non-conference portion of it first, and then we'll talk quickly about the conference portion. So, guys, we start off 6 o'clock on a Friday night against Boston College, former Big East turned ACC rival. What are we thinking about the non-conference from that point going forward and everything in between?
Dave, why don't we start with you?
Sure. With all due respect to BC and to all those fine colleges like Brown, Marist, and Vermont, I just want it to be December 1st. I want to see the Kentucky game. I want to go to the Barclays Center. And then that week is also the URI game. So I'm looking forward to the beginning of December.
Right, Kevin?
First off, I'd just like to say I'm half of Undercover Friar, so if you're not following, go follow on Twitter. But I definitely agree. December 1st is huge versus Kentucky. I think the ESPN put out a rankings of non-conference schedules, and PC was ranked very low. I mean, and I'd kind of have to agree. Besides URI, Kentucky, we start off. We should start 5-0 versus BC, Brown, Marist, Vermont, and Vanderbilt. Then we go to the Virgin Islands for that Paradise Jam, I believe.
That's correct. Yep.
And so we'll see how that goes. I think Ed Cooley did that on purpose to see how we play off our grounds. But besides that, our schedule, I think it's obviously tough. And the new schedule coming out, they PC Creighton to end the season, which I'm not sure if they believe that's a rival, or I guess we'll see how that goes with future All-American Doug McDermott.
And Kevin, like you said, Dana O'Neill, actually, who's a very kind ESPN blogger for Providence and for everyone in the Big East, gave us the lowest rating. I think it was a 4, as Danny Mac mentioned, with, was it Butler or Xavier? I can't remember. But, I mean, so we do not have a strong out of conference. Danny Mac, what's the game you're looking forward to? I think I already know it, but go ahead and say it.
No, I mean, obviously, like everyone else said, I think that week of Kentucky URI is just a really big week for fans. I know a lot of, especially the Kentucky game, you're going to get a lot of alumni who a lot of them can't make the games in Providence. You're going to get a lot of New Jersey, New York, Connecticut people going to that Kentucky game. So I think that's a game on everyone's radar. It should be a lot of fun just because it's Kentucky and just because of their recruiting class this year. I mean, obviously last year would have been fun, but this year's team is going to rival that team from 2 years ago, so I think that should be a lot of fun. I think BC is a good opener. I mean, they're not a cupcake team, but they're a team that we should beat. They have a few good players, so I think that'll be a good game to kind of get your feet wet right off the bat with.
Danny James, how about you, buddy?
I mean, like everyone else, I'm most excited for Kentucky, for URI, for Boston College. And looking over the schedule, everything else, nothing really jumps out. I mean, sure, you got the Paradise Jam, and, you know, you got a couple of mid-tier opponents that could be interesting. Fairfield is always going to be a fun game because that's where Ed Cooley came from. Some of the local New England colleges that we play, like Vermont, you know, it's always kind of fun, but my biggest thought on the 2013-2014 non-conference schedule is that ever since Keno Davis came in, we've been asking for tougher opponents in the non-conference. We've really been trying to step up, you know, the level of challenge that we play at. And Keno was never really interested in doing that. With Ed Cooley, And he mentioned this at the end of last year after the season ended, and he's mentioned it a couple times since. He's been calling. He's been on the phone with Duke. He's been on the phone with North Carolina. He's been on the phone with Baylor and with Michigan State and with Ohio State. He's been trying to get these high-octane, you know, these exciting out-of-conference, you know, these big opponents to come in, and he hasn't been able to land them. And I think what we're seeing right now is this in-between phase where we're good enough where we're a threat that if they, we can beat them, but the win against us still isn't enough of a quality win to warrant playing us in a home-and-home. You know, it's just it's too much of a risk. And if you notice, the one big opponent we have, like when I say big, I mean big, is Kentucky. We didn't get them for a home-and-home. We got them for a neutral-and-home. So this year we'll be playing them at Barclays in Brooklyn, and the year after that we'll be playing them in the Roop Arena in Lexington. Whatever. The old racist guy from Glory Road, whatever his name is.
That's what I like, Danny. Don't show any respect right off the bat. If I could finish up this topic, I know, listen, Kentucky, I'm all for it. Danny James, Danny Mac, we kind of had a back and forth going on Twitter about the Rhode Island game and how we even wanted to see if Jared Terrell didn't choose Providence, we would have loved to have seen him choose URI for the sake of the rivalry of the game. But I'm sorry. I want Brown and I want them by 30 because I am pissed off with that. I am still annoyed with that game from last year and I want to take them down. So I want to see us kick the ever-loving crap out of Brown on November 13th. But other than that, I'm looking forward to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think another thing, just with the Paradise Jam, I think if we're able to play a team like Maryland, who made the NIT Finals last year, or LaSalle, who made it to the Sweet 16, I think those are also two games where you play teams that have had tournament experience before. So it'll be a good test for us, a team that is just hoping to make the tournament and expecting to do that this year. So I think those two teams are two good games that I think may be overlooked.
And LaSalle, right? They were a tournament team last year, correct?
Yeah, they were in the Sweet 16.
Oh, okay.
I think one team people are underlying is UMass. Derek Kellogg's put a hell of a team together, and I wouldn't be surprised if they could be dancing at the end of the year as well.
Yeah, UMass is probably the most underrated team by Friar fans on the non-conference schedule because, you know, everyone looks to URI and they look to games like Boston College for the challenge, but I mean, UMass is becoming legit very quickly.
One thing I would like to add is like who's not on the non-conference schedule. Do you guys have any insight to what happened with potentially playing UConn and why we're not playing them? And that's
well, I think there's a number of factors into that one. But I'll let Danny James or even Undercover maybe, I'll let them kind of go into it. The only thing I can read into it from what I've been told is that UConn, if they basically said, if you don't want anything to do with us, with the Big East, then we don't want anything to do with you. That's that simple because they're still upset that we didn't let them back in.
Yeah, maybe a few years down the line, once this all settles, we'll start playing them again. I mean, we have to, right? I mean, it's I can't imagine a season of not playing UConn. It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, well, they can enjoy losing to Towson basketball pretty soon, but they're already losing to Towson football.
Yeah, they made their bed.
Lyle Dixon's not a Towson anymore. They don't have to worry about him.
He's a master.
I mean, yeah, I've heard that it's something to do with the Big East. I've heard that they're pissed that we didn't let them in as, you know, basketball only, and they'll play their football elsewhere. But, you know, and we've talked about this at length in previous episodes. Like, they made their decision to stick with football. They made their decision to reach out to the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the National Canada Collegiate League. Like, whatever other conference would be willing to take them, they were trying to get into. You know, so you can't act like you're the hot girlfriend trying to, you know, bang every dude at the bar, and then when no one wants to sleep with you, go back to your pissed off boyfriend. You know, we're moving on. We got other hot girls.
And then realize you're nothing but a fat girl. So
who lives in door?
Nice.
And All righty. Well, let's move on a little bit here. Let's move to the rosters next on the list.
Yep.
Danny James, what do we want to talk about with roster moves and all that?
With roster, I want to talk about depth, man. And I want to talk about how this could be the deepest team we've had in, I don't know, God, maybe, honestly, maybe the middle of the Welsh years. You know, I don't think even Keno's first year with all those seniors, we had a lot of seniors, but, and the rotation was pretty good, but I think our team is deeper than that this year. I'm thinking, you know, we could go 10 deep.
Undercover Fryer?
I'd agree. I mean, a solid 10 or 11 deep. Obviously, Casey Woodring probably won't get that much time. He's a walk-on, but...
We can all pray.
But like Danny James said, the depth this year is unbelievable. And I think we all have to pray that Bryce Cotton and Kadeem Batts stay healthy, because obviously that's priority number one.
Mm-hmm.
And without them in for the long haul, it'd be tough.
Mm-hmm. Danny Mack?
No, just to go off what DJ said, I think this team is a team where you're not sitting in the stands like, oh, man, I really hope that player doesn't get in today, or, oh, man, I hope he doesn't get in foul trouble or else we're screwed. So I think it's just kind of like a reassurance, like, oh, if a game doesn't go your way early on, then who knows? Like, you have Fortune coming off the bench. He could get hot. You have Bullock who could come in, who could surprise people. You have someone like a Tyler Harris who may not get a lot of starting minutes early on, but someone that's going to come in and surprise people and really show them what he's been working on the last year. So I just think there's a lot of ways that this team can play and this team could beat you, which is really exciting. Obviously, the La Mamba pickup is intriguing. Probably people don't know a lot about him. I really don't know much about him. I've only seen a few bootleg videos. But it's just the excitement factor. We have players that can play against anyone now. It's not just we have players that, oh, they're going to dominate against Mercer and those smaller schools, and then once Big East schedule comes around, they're going to get eaten alive. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be we have people that can come in and help right away. There's not going to be a transition period, hopefully, early on.
Dave, let me ask you it this way. We've got a lot of talk about depth here. Talk to me about the guards a little bit with Brandon Austin and Bryce Cotton, and now Chris Dunn seems to be fully healthy, and even Josh Fortune. Why don't you go into them a little bit for us?
Yeah, I'm just excited that those players will be able to actually play their positions that they were brought in to do and do the things that they can excel at. I mean, just think about the early of the season or last year when Bryce Cotton had to be point guard and he had to play for 45 minutes and then he got hurt and he was still playing on one leg and still throwing out three-pointers and dishing out assists. And Josh Fortune, same thing. He's playing way more minutes than he really should be playing. So he's going to have his roles defined. He's going to be able to play 15, 20 minutes and still contribute and you know, ease into things this year. But I'm really looking forward to what Brandon Austin can do. I mean, he's been – you know, talked about being a guy who can really bring some length to the guard position, which is just going to add to the team's success on both ends of the court.
And another thing to your point there, Dave, is that you look at Brandon Austin and Chris Dunn. Austin stands at 6'6". Dunn, they have him still listed at 6'3". I think he's a little taller than that. But they're more of kind of they can drive, they can penetrate the lane, and the big thing is going to be Bryce Cotton and Josh Fortune from beyond the perimeter. You know, that's going to be a key there because they need to be our two sharpshooters. If Tyler Harris is our best three-point shooter, I think we have a problem. He has to be our second or third best three-point shooter. If that's the case, then we're going to have a very good year.
Yeah, I think Cotton can I think he can make a run at 100 three-pointers this year. I know he hit, what, 98 last year, and he was he missed a few games with his knee. So, you know, if he's healthy and we have people to, you know, bring up the ball and run the offense, he God knows what he could do his senior year.
Danny James, talk to me about the big men, especially Carson DeRozier and Kadeem Batts, and maybe even Lee Goldsboro, because we seem to be – and LaDante. I know LaDante is kind of a back-and-forth hybrid because he goes – but how do you see them playing this year?
Big. I don't know if there's any other way to put it other than big. I mean, in terms of the front court, you know, going back to the depth thing, we've never had – at least in recent memory, you know, I mean, sure, we had John Colley, we had Hanky, But, like, we've never really had this kind of talent. Just, yeah, whatever. Fuck it.
He has a building named after him.
He does have a building named after him, Ray Hall.
Stay for 10 years.
I'm more blown away that he was able to play basketball again after that injury.
Colorado.
Yeah. Mr. Colorado.
And, you know, I'd like to add, I talked to a few of the players, and they keep raving about Josh Fortune shooting. You know, Ed Cooley just wants him to shoot. He's in the gym every day shooting. And that's what he wants him to do. That's his primary role on the team, and he's got to work at it. I mean, we saw last year how he struggled. You know, he was on, obviously, a few times, but he struggled.
Yeah.
And I think the team raved about Brandon Austin. He is a freakish, long arms player who can penetrate offense and defense. And I think, you know, obviously a lot of people have him preseason Big East freshman of the year and this and that. But I think he's going to play a pivotal role on this team.
Yeah, and I think a big thing is with Dunn's health. He's fully recovered from his shoulder injury last year. I know a lot of people got on him right when he came back last year. Like, oh, he's kind of underachieving. He's not what we expected.
He wasn't healthy, for the love of God.
That was crazy.
Now that I think that council's gone, it's kind of hand the keys to the car to him. So I think he's someone that's going to be really excited to show what he can bring this year. This is kind of like, obviously with Austin coming in as well, this is kind of their team, their pieces. They can kind of dish it where they want to go. So I think from a player standpoint, he must be so excited to just kind of show what he can do with this team, which is probably going to be a lot.
And isn't it nice that, gentlemen, we don't have to worry about saying, besides Bryce Cotton, we have a core of guards that are going to be here for a little while. It's not like the days of Jeff X would leave and then you rely a lot on Sherrod Curry and then the next guy, you know, the council. Everyone is here for a little while, which is a nice thing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in tandem to that, isn't it nice that we have talented freshmen in Bullock and Austin coming in? But we don't need to make them, you know, kind of the right away, we need you to contribute 35 minutes, you know. We can ease them in a little bit more. We have that depth now. We don't need to rely on our freshmen quite as much. I mean, in the past we've had situations like with Jeff McDermott and more recently with Gerard Coleman where they'll come in and we're like, okay, you're going to save this team now. You're gonna make something awesome happen.
You're going to carry the torch.
Exactly. You carry that torch. Word to Marvin. But it feels like the first time where, you know, I don't feel like I need to put as much stock in Brandon Austin. And that's not to say that I don't trust him. I do. But I feel like if he has an off game, it's not going to, you know, defeat the Friars. You know, we're not going to have those internal combustions based on just, you know, one person having a poor performance because we are so deep. You know, we don't need to worry about our freshmen having to become superstars two games in because we have the depth. I don't know. That's the first time we've had that God knows how long.
And you don't need Josh Fortune to be your point guard to beat NJIT.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, knock on wood. I don't care if it's hard. I don't care what type of wood it is. Find it, knock on it, and just move on from there. So real quick, I know we want to move to recruiting. Everyone, I want to start with Undercover Friar. Kevin, tell me real quickly, just the name. I don't want an explanation. Who's the most important person on this team this year?
Kadeem Batts.
Thank you. Danny James?
Pass. No, I don't know. Cotton. Fuck.
Cotton. Cotton's the answer. We're moving on. Dave?
I can't believe you even had to ask me that question. Come on. It's Ice Cotton.
All right. Ice Cotton with two votes. Danny Mac, would you like to tie it up with Kadeem?
I'm going with my man, KB.
Kadeem Betts, two. Torello can tie it. I say it's going to be Tyler Harris.
Yeah,
I think I was so down on him and I think something good's coming from this kid. So I'm going with Tyler Harris.
You just want magic tickets from his brother.
So, Danny, what you were saying about, you know, not having a lot of, you know, pressure on some of the newer guys because, you know, we actually have a lot of depth. I think for Harris and DeRozier, though, it's going to be a little different. I mean, they've had experience already playing in big conferences in the ACC. They've had a year to practice with the team. Mm-hmm. There is going to be a little pressure on those guys to come right in and start producing right away, especially for DeRozier since he's, you know, the first big guy we've had in a while who can potentially do some things.
Oh, absolutely. When I say new guys, I mean the incoming freshmen. So the people who haven't played a game of college basketball yet, those guys.
Sure.
You know, the transfers are a totally different subject in my
mind. I think it's going to be huge for the Tyler Harris and Carson to kind of they are new to the team, but they know everyone. They know where people like to be on the floor. They know people's tendencies practicing with them for a year, and I think that's going to be really big right away.
I think a big thing is that Carson DeRozier, if you go look at his numbers as a freshman at Wake Forest, he only had a season high of 9 rebounds, and that happened once in one game. His next highest total was 6. As a sophomore, he only had 4 double-digit rebound games, and they were all at a conference. So, I mean, only 21 minutes average as a sophomore season, 4.8 points, 4.4 rebounds. So if you do that when you're the main guy on a Wake Forest team playing the likes of Duke and, you know, UNC, it doesn't work that well. But when you're playing with a Kadeem Batts, with a LaDante Henton, who was a top rebounder in the Big East, he's going to contribute a hell of a lot more with a team like this.
I think it kind of speaks to how the team is set up right now. You know, we just spent, you know, 10 minutes talking about the depth and certain players like Dunn and Cotton. And that's the first time I think someone just mentioned LaDante Henton when he's a, you know, double-double machine coming into his junior year. So I think we're going to be really surprised with how deep this team is.
Yeah, so I know we have to move on, but I know we kind of just went through everyone saying who the most important player is. But if one of you want to give your starting five and who's your first off the bench, I guess, Chris, Terrell, you can – who would you start and who's the first guy off the bench?
Who would I start? Oh, that's a great question. I think Bryce Cotton starts, Kadeem Batts. I'm just going to name five guys. Austin, Cotton, Dunn, Batts, and Henton. I think until you get into the season a little bit, I think Cooley's going to respect who started last year because they've been here building it through.
And then Harris, you'd have Harris off the bench first?
I'd have Harris and DeRozier right off the bench with Fortune.
Okay.
So who's someone next?
Undercover.
I definitely agree, and you know, Chris Dunn actually told me recently that Tyler Harris is such a versatile guy that, you know, he got invited to LeBron James Skills Academy this year and the Kevin Durant camp because of Ed Cooley, which is huge. And I think he can play the 3-4, obviously, and I think he's going to be a huge contributor. Now Carson, on the other hand, people generally look at him, you know, they could say maybe he's a little soft or obviously from his stats at Wake Forest. But this year, Ed Cooley's been working with him all off season, and I think he's going to play a huge role, especially helping out Batts in the front court. I think the team's going to be well handled.
I think so, too. Danny James, who's your starting five?
Starting five, Chris Dunn, Bryce Cotton, Brandon Austin, Kadeem Batts, Carson DeRozier's with either Harris or Henton off the bench, depending on who's willing to play defense.
It's kind of nice to see that you can have those two big bodies in there and have so much coming off. Dave, what about you?
Dave.
You know, I'll peep in for Dave real quick. I heard a rumor that... Before,
sorry, guys, I was on mute.
I heard Ed Cooley promised Brandon Austin a starting spot in the rotation.
We all heard that, I think, going back to his days at Imhotep, correct? When he was recruited here, right?
Yeah,
Austin should start. There's no reason why he shouldn't. He's just a freak.
I think Austin's going to start at the three. He's going to start at the three, just because he's such a versatile player. You know, having him there to create a mismatch and at the same time handle the ball as a one or shoot it as a two, like, that's going to be critical to Ed Cooley's, you know, little chess game with players. So I have no doubt in my mind that that promise will be made good.
And well, go ahead, Dave.
I think Cotton, Dunn, and Bats are obviously there. You know, you can put them in a, you know, Sharpie with at this point. And I can't believe you said Hinton would come off the bench. That seems a little, you know, based on what he's done before, you know, the past couple of years. I think he's going to be in the starting position. I think the only really question mark is if it's going to be Austin or Harris, to be honest. And I can kind of see Harris slotting in there just because he's got a little more experience. And, you know, it's all going to depend on how those first couple of, you know, true games go. But, you know, I can't see anyone else other than those four guys at least starting right now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think As Jalen Rose said, the positions were created for a novice to follow the game. So I just think that with our height and with our players, with our guards, I can, like, so many playmakers now. I just think that, like, scrap the positions, just throw them out there and let them play. So I think I would say Austin, Cotton, Dunn, Hinton, and Bats, and with Harris coming off the bench. And I do think that there's a chance that Fortune plays a lot of minutes too. I think he'll second or third off the bench, but I think he's someone that's going to be underlooked.
Well, we talked about Tyler Harris and Carson DeRozier, and that kind of segues us into recruiting a little bit, guys. Now, first thing I want to say is, you know, we all have known about Abu and Terrell, all that stuff, but what?
Who? I don't know who those guys are.
Okay, fine, great, get the joke. Fine. I want to go to Undercover Friar first, and then I want to go to Dave, and then Danny and Danny, you two can jump in at will. But I want to start with Undercover Friar. What are you hearing in terms of the next move with Ed Cooley, Bob Simon, Brian Blaney, and staff?
I'm hearing good things coming from the Ben Bentel camp. Bentel's a power forward. He runs with the out of Delaware, the AAU team. He recently said he had visits to Providence, Georgetown, and Miami, which he visited Providence a couple weekends ago and responded to a tweet that said he had a great time. Recently, Paul White's a forward who committed to Georgetown, I believe, a couple days ago.
That's a good thing for us.
Which should eliminate Georgetown. And what I'm hearing is a good thing coming from his camp. Now, he rescheduled his visit to Miami in the first couple weeks of October. So he said he planned on announcing after his visits, so we could be expecting something soon. And Ed Cooley is definitely recruiting hard the four position right now. Without, besides Ben Bentel, Jaquill Taylor had a serious foot injury, so he didn't really have too much recruiting. But PC and Andre LaFleur is the main guy coming out of there, and his dad's all over Twitter saying PC is still recruiting him. So I think our next commit could come somewhat soon. Taylor and Bentel should sign before the November open period.
Undercover, you just created the next thread on Scout Freeboard. I just want to let you know that with this whole about commit coming soon, that's going to be plastered up there once this hits airwaves. I want to go to Dave now. Dave, what are you hearing out of recruiting?
I mean, I haven't really been hearing much lately. I think that, you know, the important thing for me has been how, you know, how Friartown's really dealt with the Abu and Terrell commitments elsewhere. You know, I think in the past that would have set a real big meltdown everywhere. All these guys didn't pick. You know, we lost. Remember last year when we lost Samson and Abeka? That was just a real, real disaster. But because we got Lindsay and the other big man, you know, it's really soften the blow, and it's like, oh, you know, those guys, we didn't get those guys, let's move on to the next one. And Cooley's still going to be in with them, so no matter what happens with, you know, further recruits for that year, the 2014 class is in a great position, and they're trying to fill the spots with some other transfers and to balance out the classes. So I think we're in good shape no matter what happens down the line.
And Danny James, I just want to ask you real quickly, with this whole thing, it seemed within 24 hours of the commitments of two players whose names shall not be mentioned, it seemed that the Junior LaMamba news just hit really quick and it was perfectly timed. Just tell me a little bit about the philosophy of Ed Cooley and his mentality of the kind of like this, what we hear in football teams with next player up.
Honestly, I don't know if that was a happy coincidence or if that was intended to be, you know, kind of a way to soften the blow. I know Junior, you know, I saw in the Projo today he's officially a Friar, because it looked like for a while he was a Friar, but it wasn't official. He was enrolled, but he wasn't on the team. They were waiting on some stuff. So I think that there was no coincidence in the timing of the announcement. But I think the fact that we picked him up when we did was just kind of a pure coincidence. So, like, they knew they were going to get him. They felt confidence, that they were going to get him. So they put that info out there to soften the blow. But, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've done that. A couple years ago, we lost Greedy Peterson, and then we announced we were bringing someone else in. I think it was... Was it Lee that we said right when we lost Greedy?
Alex Gavrilovic.
Yeah, we lost the French. We lost the French guy, and we got the Brit.
We did the swap with Temple. Temple was it? Temple or St. Joe's? One of those A-10 schools or former A-10 schools, whatever. So it's been done in the past. Like I said, I'm sure that there was something to it, but I think that it all just worked out. You know, more likely than not, as just a good coincidence.
And we have two scholarships open for 2014 as of right now, right? I mean, we have we had three open, and then we got the other commitment. So
yeah, I think now it's two.
You have two left with Junior now because he's going to assume role. Yep. So
and they're going to need another point guard at some point, I believe. So
One of the big things right now is Devontae Graham is a guard out of Brewster Academy who was 2013 recruit, but he reclassified 2014. He signed with Appalachian State, and he asked for his release, and he got denied. He appealed it, and he got denied. And PC, URI, and UConn are all over him, but they cannot talk to him because he hasn't been granted his release. And I'm hearing Andre LaFleur and Ed Cooley are talking to Jason Smith about every day to find out the latest about him. So,
well, another piece of news up there in Brewster Academy is now recently transferred from Canterbury is Donovan Mitchell, class of 2015. A friend of mine, he coaches at Canterbury, and he's all over Donovan Mitchell. And actually, you know, Bob Simon's not the name. It's been Brian Blaney who's been on him. So, Donovan Mitchell's a name I think we're going to be hearing a lot more as the 2015 commitments come. So that'll be interesting to see. I think what we're all getting here is the four position with Bentel or Taylor. That seems to be one of the hot spots. And then I think from what we're hearing from Dave is it's possibly another point guard to go along with Dunn and Austin. So that sounds pretty good there. Danny James, what do we want to do next? Do we want to do a couple of Twitter questions or do we have another topic?
We can take a break. We got three more topics, but let's do some Twitter questions, because I just got another one in. I know a couple of you guys have gotten in on some on yours, so let's just fire them off. I think, Dave, you had one on bats, correct?
Yeah, I got one from Brian Hurley, 35, on Twitter, asking what the ceiling for bats was, because he said he'll play more of the four and less of the five now that we have DeRozier in there, and we'll get a lot of mismatches at the four. And I was talking to Danny before, and I said, well, you know, he in playing the five last year, he still, you know, put up fantastic numbers. And so I can't even imagine what he would do, given that lesser matchup. So
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And one big thing last year with Bats was he brought in a private coach, and they were helping to square him up right around the free throw line and shoot that jumper that we all know he can hit. And, you know, turning and facing up towards the basket and knowing you have a guy like Carson to be underneath the basket, it takes a little bit of pressure off of Kadeem so he can actually, I think, expand his offensive reach. And you never know, a really good senior campaign from Kadeem Bats, things can get interesting with him come next NBA draft.
And I think anything less than second or actually first team Big East would be, you know, a little bit of a disappointment in my mind. What do you guys think?
I think it'll be a stretch, but I mean, I would love it.
Yeah,
I to go up with Dave. So I think first team All Big East is definitely something he's striving for and he expects. And I definitely think he can get there. I mean, besides McDermott, who doesn't really post up that much or play down that low, and obviously, I guess you could put Obekpa in there as a big man who's solid down low. But going off of just who's returning as a big man in the Big East, and there's not really many that stand out for me. So I think someone like Kadeem, this is really a year to... So, like, you came onto the scene last year. Now this year, like, show us again that you can do that and what you've improved on. So I think, obviously, looking forward for him, I think the NBA obviously is a dream of his and hopefully something he will attain. Obviously, if he's a first-round pick, that means we had a great season this year. If he's a second-round pick, that means he had a great year, but maybe the team didn't. So I think the ceiling for him is – probably, I would say if he's a poor man's DeJuan Blair. I know they're different kinds of players, but the same impact. Just like that gritty guy down low who's not going to be moved. I think that's what I'm hoping for and looking for.
His legs are in far better shape, by the way. Just want to point that out. Danny, what's our next Twitter question or Facebook question?
I got three on mine. One serious and two kind of fun ones. We'll do the serious one first. Eric Tanish, what? I don't know how to say your name, man. I'm sorry.
Eric.
What?
Eric.
I'm Eric.
Well, yeah, Eric, but whatever. Eric.
You're going to give the company to Eric?
He wants to know where Fortune fits into the rotation. Defensive stopper, spot shooter, 15 minutes a game. I mean, we've kind of talked about this, but just real quick answer. He's coming in as a spot shooter to, you know, give us a quick boost in the scoring whenever we're hitting a drought. I see him as coming in for a Villanova type of situation when we played him down in Philly, where he comes in, he's going to drop a couple three, get the offense going, and then, you know, that's his contribution. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't see much last year to be considered a defensive stopper. And I mean, it could have been that he was playing 40 minutes a game and, you know, trying to, you know, carry too much, but... Yeah, like you said, I think 15 minutes a game is a definite role for him, and come in, hit some threes, call it a day.
Yep.
The more he's able to come off the bench and hit threes cold, the more he'll see the floor. It's that simple. It's that simple.
All right, next one. This one comes from Ed Palich. And he wants to know how many Friars are all Big East at the end of the season. So, half fun, half serious question. I'm gonna say three.
I would say all of them.
We're just taking the whole all first team, second team, honorable mention. It's all PC.
I think going off of what Dave said and now what reconsidering what Danny's argument was as well, I think Kadeem Bats is first team. I think Bryce Cotton is a preseason first team, and I think he should be first team at the end. And I think you could see Dunn and Austin easily on one of the teams, especially Austin being a freshman. I think we could get five because I think Ted Bancroft's going to be on there somewhere. So,
White Lightning.
I definitely think if I had to put one guy in as a definite, I think Austin's a lock to make the all-rookie team unless something drastic happens. Especially with his minutes that he's going to get and the production that he should have. I do think that Kadeem should make the first team, but I wouldn't be shocked if he makes the second just because they don't always go on position. They just kind of do it randomly, whatever. So I think two Locks, and obviously Cotton would make the third if he can kind of repeat what he did last year. I would say get in that second team spot.
And again, our apologies to LaDante Henton because we forgot him. That's bad. All right, I have a question from Russell Moore in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. He has two questions. I don't know how serious we want to take them, but his first one is actually, I think, Danny James, you might like this. How do we get students more interested in games? Because it still seems to be a big – okay, thanks, Danny Mac. It seems to be a big issue still.
Go ahead.
Win games.
Yeah, Dave nailed it. You win. At this point, just go out there, fucking win. I actually had a big conversation about this with some people in athletics today, going over some ideas, talking about what we can do, just bouncing that around. So we'll see.
Here's what I would do. On game days, you cancel Ray the entire day. You have cookouts on the lawns on good days. Bad days, slaving is free the entire day. Eat all you want. And then beforehand, Louis is all you can drink up till game time, and then there's buses from Louis to the dunk, and then at the dunk you get free beer for the entire game as long as the Friars are winning.
And as long as you're 21.
But yeah, in all seriousness, I think obviously the majority of the student section is going to be freshmen and sophomores, sprinkled in with some dedicated juniors and seniors like it always is. But I do think that this year will be a lot better than last year. I think a lot of people last year were just still really down on the whole thing with Ricky and him not being able to play and Dunn being hurt. And I know that turned off a lot of people. It turned off all my roommates from going to any games and a lot of people that I knew. So I think this year it's more upbeat, and hopefully it'll change.
Only took 42 minutes to mention Ricky Lito's name. Dave, go ahead.
I think, Late Night Madness is going to be awesome. Ed Cooley, knows how to connect with the students, and he's going to do a fantastic job. But I really think the first couple weeks of the season, it may not be great. Just look at the teams we're playing outside of BC, Brown, Marist, Vermont. And I don't know what days those games fall on, but, those opponents just don't really, bring a lot of students to that game. Once we get to that early December phase and we're playing Kentucky and URI, and if we have the wins and we head into the Big East season with a good record, the students are going to come. I mean, that's as simple as that. I don't want to hear about, I had an exam, blah, blah, blah. It's too nice outside, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, it's all about wins.
Fuck your exams.
just looking at the schedule real quickly, Seton Hall, Georgetown, Creighton, the first three home games that we have of the Big East will fall, I believe, within Christmas break. That's not terrific. Creighton is probably the night before kids come back. Butler's right after they come back. That game is a 9 p.m. game on Fox Sports 1. So that'll be pretty fun there.
What's Fox Sports?
I have no idea. It's some network where Regis Philbin just sits there at 5 o'clock.
It's two Canadians that go on and on.
Please don't even start me with it, okay?
It sounds superficial, but we need that number next to our name. Once the team starts appearing on SportsCenter and with that number, kids are going to start recognizing it, and that's when the scales tip.
Yeah.
Here's a question I got for all of you. Just going down, because this is going to prove my point. What team were you a fan of growing up? Starting with you, Chris.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
No. It's not a judgment thing. I swear to God.
UConn.
I was actually a Georgetown fan because my late father went to Georgetown. He was a big fan of Georgetown. So I grew up a Georgetown, and I was a UConn fanny pack fan. But thankfully, I came to Providence. I found the Lord or whatever. And now I'm a Friar fan, black and white. I will never, ever, ever return to UConn.
Where? Dave?
I grew up watching St. John's. I loved watching those old Big East games in the 80s. And, my dad went there for grad school. My first sports memory is just watching that St. John's, Syracuse, St. John's, Georgetown games just in the Big East tournament. And just kind of went from there.
Some classic games played in Madison Square Garden. I mean, growing up in New York, it's hard not to be a fan of that team, especially when growing up when you did, you know?
I grew up in New Jersey. Come on.
Jersey represent.
Danny Mac.
Growing up, I was a Duke fan.
What?
All right. You're done.
And I get crap for being a UConn fan. Okay.
Well, not anymore. You don't. Kevin.
This is tough to say too. I was a PC and URI fan. My grandpa had season tickets for both, so I'd split going to those games and black and white now. All black.
I can respect having both though.
I grew up a Boston College fan, and this kind of is what I'm trying to prove a point here with. We all grew up with different fans. You know, we came from different areas where we watched different teams. You know, we saw success at different times with different teams, and we grew up fans of those. And, you know, when we came to Providence College, that switched because, you know, we were all passionate people. And, you know, Kevin's case, he's just always a Friars fan. So I guess he's the one out of the five. You know, he's – but if even one out of five students, you know – grew up Providence fans, we wouldn't have an issue with attendance. But the fact is, most of these students didn't grow up PC fans. So you're asking them to switch over to liking a new team after following another team for 18 years and growing up with that team. And then you're asking them to follow it when the team isn't doing well, you know? So I think, you know, like Dave said, you have to win, but you have to be patient with students who grew up following, you know, different teams and didn't grow up following the Friars. That's just the simple reality of it, you know?
That's a good point, Danny, and I think it's a great way that you kind of brought it full circle. But here's another problem I have. It's when you're at a basketball game, can you be interested in the basketball game, please? Can you actually give a damn about what's going on the hardwood? I don't care what's going on afterwards. What's going on at the Dunkin' Donuts Center? That should be the best. That should be for 2 hours locked in. That's all you should care about. And that's something that you don't see a lot of.
And they should be caring about posting to Twitter and tweeting me.
Yeah. Tweet James.
Yes. Friar Blog. Good point. Friar Blog. Tweet him.
Follow on Facebook.
He needs some good. He needs. There has to be some more action shots, in game shots posted to Friar Blog. I agree.
There was
a few good ones last year, but I think that should be a staple. Every 5 or 6 minutes, there has to be a funny picture of someone on the bench being posted, your favorite fan being posted, and some ridiculous moment being posted.
Or just pictures of Cotton. I'll take that.
I definitely think there needs to be a lot of promotion at hockey games this year because our men's ice hockey team is ranked 9th in the nation in one poll. And I think it's important that when our fans are there, you have marketing GAs there from athletics, get them over to the student section and just, you know, do what they have to do to get people to know there are games and that kids get for the Dunk. It's a 5-minute ride on a bus. It's a free bus ride. And I don't know how many other schools you can say you are guaranteed season tickets as a student.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. It's ridiculous.
To go off what you said about doing stuff at hockey games, I was earlier this summer, I think it was Bancroft tweeted a picture of Schneider Arena and said something along the lines of jealous of what the hockey team has right on campus. Wonder if basketball played here or something like that.
Moore actually asked that question. That was the second question he asked was, what are your thoughts on possibly getting a campus arena? And I told him flat out, I don't know when it'll happen, probably never. But, I mean, I think the thing that I'm a little upset about this year is that there is not an exhibition game on campus.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset by that.
Yeah, those are always fun.
I mean, the kids got to go to it. That was what I thought was great. You know, and you get to promote what alumni actually looks like when it's full of Friar fans, not UConn women's basketball fans, not Notre Dame women's basketball fans. Because I had to experience in that crap last year, and I hated it. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right, Danny.
We got one more question on Twitter, and this comes from the Cooley World Order.
No, I don't.
They want to know, how will you celebrate with an 8 at the end when PCB ball wins the Big East tourney? Hashtag CWO. Boy, I'm going to black out.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'd probably go streaking. Plain and simple. But,
if you could pick one player on the team to celebrate with, who would it be? Oh, this is a good question.
I pick two. I'd probably pick Chris Dunn because I think he's a great dancer and the man. But I'd probably pick Bancroft because I love him.
Oh, Jesus.
Man.
I would probably pick Kofani and Lee just because.
The two people that can't speak English.
Exactly, just because no matter how drunk I got, no one would be able to understand any of us, so I wouldn't feel as bad.
All right. Dave, who would you, fans you'd party with, or what would you do? Or sorry, players you'd party with.
Players I'd party with. I think I wouldn't want to pick just one. I think you have to be Lee and Bancroft, just because seeing them talk on Twitter and just interacting with them on Twitter, they just seem like they're funny guys. As much as I love Ice Cotton, he seems like a very quiet and
leave early.
I'm sorry. What was that?
He would leave early.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what would I do if they won the biggest tournament? I don't even know if I would stop crying. I think it would just be amazing.
Danny
actually,
James.
I would try to scale Father Shanley's house and put a fried flag on top of it and start screaming.
I might steal his Volvo. Danny James, what do we have?
If we were to win, or who would I party with?
Both.
If
go
we
ahead.
Were to win, I don't know, man, but it would probably end up with me in jail. It would be like if the Hangover just they got caught in the middle of that and got arrested, like that would be me, like just if, you know, in jail.
Yeah. And for those of you out there, Danny,
I'm gonna tell y'all something.
That would happen.
Yeah. It would.
You would have to pay to come to the. I mean, if the Fires got to the finals of the Big East tournament. How much money would you be willing to pay to come to New York City and see that game live?
For the championship game?
For the championship game.
I'd pay a solid $500.
$500, nice.
Hey, $60. But keep in mind, I don't make shit, so that's a lot of money.
What if it's against the Paul?
Oh my God! $5 million.
I'm watching on FS1. Let's put it that way. If it's on DePaul, let me just really quickly, Danny. Let me jump in with my answer. If we win the Big East championship, you know what I'm doing? I'm bailing you out of jail. So that's probably
you're a good friend. But I didn't answer because I'm gonna tell you guys, y'all don't know how to party, okay? Because you've been naming these players. If I get to party with one player, I'm partying with Jermaine Peterson, man. That dude knows how to throw a party.
Okay. Thank you for that one, Danny.
All right. We got to cut this short because we're running out of time. So we're going to go to our fun topic to close out the night. Recently, there was an article posted on some website that said, you know, one of those, if the Big East teams were all beers and what beer, you know, what they would each be. And we got Bud Light Platinum. And from my understanding, a lot of people pissed about being Bud Light Platinum. So I'm going to ask you guys to close out the night, what beer would we be if we were a beer in the Big East?
Oof. That's a good question.
Well, I've never had Bud Light Platinum. I don't know what it is.
Bud Light.
What's that?
I think it's just a stronger Bud Light.
Well, that sounds terrible.
I think it's more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like 4% instead of 2.
That sounds awful. I think the truth about PCB ball hit the nail on the head with this one. He tweeted earlier today. I don't know if you guys saw it. He said, for the record, PC should be Gansett. Gone for a while, enjoying a resurgence. Secretly very solid beer, but no one seems to know about it yet.
Ooh, I like that one.
Shit. Well, that's the answer, folks. We're done here.
You know what? It doesn't matter what type of beer we are. All I know is in one hand you got your champagne and the other you got your whiskey. One's for celebrating and one's for drowning your problems away. All right, guys. I think great success for our first Friar Pod of the 2013-2014 season. Thanks so much to Danny James for hooking us up tonight on Skype. For Danny James, Danny McNamara, Dave Peen, and Kevin San, easy last name, I am Chris Torello saying go Friars and fire up chips.
Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.
Later.